Across the galaxy, the Clone Wars spread.
Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network's Look Back at the Clone Wars micro-series.
Against this threat, upon the Jedi Knights falls the duty to lead the newly formed Army of the Republic.
While the full-length Clone Wars show is on summer hiatus, come back to RepublicForces.com this summer and join Dan, Jen, Jerry, Barrett, and Nathan as they look back at all 25 episodes of the Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars series that aired from 2005 through 2008.
You have been selected for this task because you are the best, the elite. You all know what to do.
In these matters, trust your insight, we do. May the Force be with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Republic Forces Radio Network and our summer programming, continuing to talk about the Clone Wars micro-series. I'm here once again tonight with Jen.
Good evening.
Barrett.
Hey, everybody.
Jerry.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And Nathan.
Hello.
And tonight, we're going to talk about Chapter 2, 3, and 4 of Season 1, or just Chapter 2, 3, and 4 of your Volume 1 DVDs, depending on what your source for the Clone Wars micro-series is. Chapter 2 and 3 will be our introduction to the ARC Troopers and their escapades on Munalus. And then Chapter 4 is the adventures of Kit Fisto and the Battle of Mon Calamari, which is a little bit of interest to us with the forthcoming Clone Wars Season 4, because we got a little bit of a preview that looks like we may return there. But we'll get to that in a few moments. Now, this is the episode in this series, at least, where we are introduced to the ARC Troopers. But the ARC Troopers originally came to us when, Nathan?
They were introduced, if I remember correctly, in the 50th issue of Republic, that sort of ongoing Star Wars series that started out as just being called Star Wars. So for their big Battle of Kamino 50th issue spectacular, they brought in these rather spectacular new clones.
What was the time frame as far as when that issue was released before this episode?
9 months before. It was released in February of 2003, so it had a gestational period to go from comic to film.
At that time, I wasn't in too deep with my comic collection, so didn't get issue 50 of Republic until much later. Now I have it, and I know that there are troopers in it, but I did not realize that we received that before this episode. So this is where I was introduced to the ARC Troopers and all of their coolness. So this is what got me really into the Clone Wars, because it was awesome clone action, as we make the reference from time to time. Jen, you're a big clone fan. Was this also your introduction to the ARC Troopers?
Yeah, I had never seen ARC Troopers before this, and this kind of sparked the clone media in my brain anyway. I was hooked when they first show up at this and the episode after. I kind of just sat there with like doing the giddy schoolgirl thing, just like, oh, this is so cool the entire time. Like, I loved it. They're just badass, and you can't not enjoy watching them. There's nothing in that I could at least find fault in. I was just too busy having fun with a big grin on my face like a little kid.
Yeah, they make for some really cool action, just in the sense of how they don't communicate verbally here. I mean, they've got the helmet communicators. You would think they could communicate verbally, but they're using all the hand signals and everything. And with the way the artwork here works, where it's sort of these stiff, quick motions, as opposed to being very elaborate movements, it works very well as just kind of a quick, you know, jerk of the hand this way, jerk of the hand that way, to get them stealthily to where they need to be. The only issue I had with any of that, because it really was pretty well done, was they're walking down the street silently using hand signals to make sure they don't alert anybody, and then one of them just like randomly shoots at some vermin in the street. How about a blaster shot to let everybody know that you're there?
No, wait, they're here! Oh, wait, that was something else.
Exactly. That was the one thing that struck me as kind of humorous about the whole thing, is they're sneaking around, not even talking, and somebody's going to shoot the rat.
But see, I kind of felt like at that point in the episode, some battle droids already opened fire on them. They know they're there. They know they're there. And it, to me, it was almost just, forget that little piece of logic, which is valid. But to me, it just kind of represented, yep, these guys are cool. They're just walking down the street, getting ready to see what they're going to take out next. And, oh, yeah, let me just kick this puppy while I'm here. I mean, it's just, not that I advocate kicking puppies, but I mean, that was more like, I guess, like you guys just said, vermin or something. But let me, I kind of picture
shooting womp rats.
Well, No, but that's an interesting comparison. I was kind of picturing off scene one of them saying, hey, I bet I could hit that from here. You know, that's just how cool they are, you know?
I mean, they are super cool. They are super cool. You know, the whole hand movements and gestures really, like you said, Nathan, they kind of had to do that with the shorter length of the story, and they kind of had to tell the story. They couldn't have a bunch of dialogue. And I think, Jerry, you mentioned that last episode, but it really gave the sense that these guys are well-trained, that they could handle business. And it kind of gave me the same feeling as when the stormtroopers are busting through that door on the Tantive, and they just look like they can take care of business. They have no fear. They're well-trained, and they're going to come and get you. And it just really, it just, you know, if I say, I say it again, if I would have seen this when it first originally came out, I would have been so excited. Now I can understand the excitement that the ARC troopers were giving everyone, because you see this and you can only imagine of what's to come, you know. And this is where they get the design for Captain Rex, isn't it? Because there is no Captain Rex actually introduced as Captain Rex in this series. It's just these ARC troopers that kind of look like him.
Well, yeah, they use the ARC trooper design in some respects to create the design for Captain Rex. Sort of, he's got kit, he's got the armor that he's been sort of tweaking to make it more like ARC armor as he's gotten command positions and such, as opposed to being just the straight regular armor. I remember the joke at the time with these two, especially given the fact that you got the one there in the bright, bright red that just says, come on, shoot me, I dare you. There was a joke going around for a while that while all of the other clones are clones of Jango Fett, the ARCs are actually clones of Jack Bauer. Who are you working for? Count Dooku!
Well, you know, the other thing that I thought was maybe some of the calm coolness of them that was a little out of place is when their gunship was going down. It's like they're just all standing there like, yep, it's part of the plan. It's cool. Yep, we crash. We're just going to all pop out. And, you know, I'm sure more than half of us won't be dead from that kind of crash. But no, it's cool. It's part of the plan.
I kind of took that, though, like the whole thing that they were silent, I kind of took it almost as like you're watching them from afar. Because they have these helmet mics, supposedly, and they could be talking, and you could hear all the... There might be, like, screaming and battle and all the stuff that you would normally hear with regular troopers, but because they have these helmets on, they're kind of silenced, almost. And maybe that was just me thinking about it too much, but I thought it was kind of interesting to see, like, this is almost like some observer kind of stuck in the middle, like a civilian or something in a window, just watching and thinking how, like, alien these people are, because they're, like, almost silent in everything that happens to them.
Well, I think it goes back to your comment last time, Jen, about the animation. I mean, it probably would have been difficult for them in this 3-minute episode to, like, animated them like they were panicked. They were just all standing there holding the little straps above, like, yep, we're crashing. And it probably would have been difficult for them to, like, look like they're trying to brace themselves and do this and do that. They were just in the exact same position with zero reaction whatsoever about having just got hit with a rocket and getting ready to crash. I'm surprised we didn't see the pilot go flying out of the front canopy. Of course, he didn't. I don't think we necessarily saw him come out at all. That looked like a pilot, so maybe he did bite it. But no, it was almost like it was just planned. Like they were going down because they chose to.
And honestly, you know, I kind of got the feeling that this is obviously early in the war, right, Nathan? I'm sure you'll get into that. This is obviously early into the war. So this is kind of like the first couple batches of clones that they have out there. And so they're kind of no nonsense. They don't really have too much battle experience, so they don't really have their personality yet. So I kind of took it like that, how it could work like that, where they're not talking, as well as a storytelling element because of the shortness of each episode. So I think we all agree that it worked.
Yeah, this is only, you know, about... Go ahead.
I just keep having, now with Jen's comment, I keep seeing that scene with them crashing and all staying there silent, but thinking inside their helmets, they're all screaming, oh crap, we're going to die, but you just can't hear it.
They're walking down the street. Dude, why'd you have to shoot the little lizard? I wanted to shoot the lizard, but you gave us away. You're wearing red. You know, that happens.
Or could you imagine, it's like, hey, could you quit making the hand signals? Like, hear you through the helmet, okay? Stop. You look like an idiot.
Yeah, the two guys in the background, different channel, and they're commenting on everything the commander does.
To what Baron said, these are taking place around, I mean, they're now saying, you know, they've shifted around the timeline for this quite a bit. Saying it's about 4 months, give or take, after the events of Attack of the Clones. But an interesting thing about this series is it was not originally meant to be in continuity at all. It was meant to be a separate sort of just fun little series. And then as it was getting more attention, as Lucas really liked the people's reaction to it and liked the final product, in fact, greenlighting continuing the thing, and eventually, again, sort of seeing this as a pilot and greenlighting the idea of going back to the Clone Wars for the later series, it got worked into continuity. And had to take certain elements of this series and take a few of the episodes and actually shift when they take place in order to make it fit with all the previously existing stuff. This time, the Clone Wars series being reorganized to fit with the EU rather than vice versa. But it was definitely, it's early in the war. It was always meant to be somewhat early in the war, but now they've pinned it down closer to about the, we're about a third of a year into the conflict, give or take, at this point.
So Nathan, what I hear you saying there is for a bright, shining moment in Star Wars fandom, Shaggy was not really part of the continuity, but now, unfortunately, he is.
Briefly, that is true. Though I can't believe you don't like Shaggy. Zoinks!
Yeah. You know, that's one of those cases that, yes, I understand it's on Cartoon Network, and it'd be funny to see somebody from their other shows. And I think Jerry and I talked this a little bit in the current episode of Star Wars Action News. I don't keep your chocolate out of my peanut butter. I don't want to see Ben 10 walk through as a Padawan in the current series just because Ben 10's on Cartoon Network. And once again, don't get any ideas. But
turns out the next Mandalorian Academy is actually Tower Prep. Yeah,
exactly. See, I don't want to see that kind of stuff.
And I think you're obviously less likely to because Lucas is doing that, whereas Cartoon Network made this, right? I mean, is that a fair way of looking at it, Nathan? That, I mean, this really wasn't Lucasfilm making this. Maybe, you know, obviously approving it and green lighting everything, but this was Cartoon Network making this show, right?
Well, they took more of a hands-off approach in a lot of ways. Genndy Tartakovsky certainly had a lot of freedom with this series. And this is actually, if I remember correctly, after this first batch of 10 episodes aired, that was the lead-up to actually the launch of Lucasfilm Animation. So Lucasfilm Animation as a separate entity was just coming into existence, had never had any projects of its own at this point. So it was certainly in conjunction with Cartoon Network, with Genndy Tartakovsky really getting the push of it. Lucas was behind the scenes, but not nearly as much as he is on the new one. That's why, when you look at this series in terms of the grand scheme of continuity and everything, this is labeled as C-canon. In other words, the same level as the novels, the comics, droids, Ewoks, whatever, as opposed to G-canon, straight from Lucas, like the films, and it did not warrant the creation of that new type of canon, that T-canon or television canon that has Lucas's direct involvement but isn't all him, which is what the Clone Wars series, the new Clone Wars series, has been designated, being the only one of its kind at this point with that designation. So it was definitely more of a hands-off approach here.
You know, speaking of the cool clones and just how awesome they were, what did you guys think about that little Spider-Man in and out of the clone tank type thing where he just jumps up, shoots the opening while he's midair, falls in, bam, 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 out. Tank destroyed.
That was the most unrealistic and most cool.
It's Jack Bauer in the armor.
That was one of those moments where I thought, okay, I think I'm going to like this show. And then Dirge arrived, but we'll talk about that next time.
Yes, we will. So the Arcs succeed in their mission. They kick a lot of butt. They take a lot of names. They blow up the cannon at the base of the tower and then put in the call to General Kenobi. So we're going to leave Mutalist for a little bit and the ARC troopers. And we're going to go to Mon Calamari, or Dak as it's also known, for a battle there that is being led by Master Kit Fisto, who's going to show us a little bit of skin. Now, this was one of the times when this series first started, we were told that it was going to be kind of exaggerated. It was going to be Force Powers times 10, kind of like they toted the Force Unleashed. It was going to be Force Powers times 10 and everything just larger than life. And this was an episode for sure where we got that.
Well, you know, when Aquaman showed up and started commanding the forces of sea creatures. No, but you know, Dan, to that point, I like some of the things that they did with the Force here. I mean, between this and the Mace Windu episodes we'll get to in a few weeks, I really think that it's kind of frustrating on the current show and sometimes in the movies where you think kind of in theory the power that these Jedi should have and the things they should be able to do. And you're like, well, why don't you just use the Force and just push the guy over, or push that thing out of the way, or do this or do that? I mean, I can see some of this stuff. Now, I think it's less true here. I think this one came off a little bit more ridiculous. The Mace Windu later was far more exaggerated, but you can kind of see, it's like, yeah, why wouldn't he be able to do that? We have established powers. It's just like these Jedi are either so easy to get tired and fatigued in using their powers, or they really can't achieve these things, or they just lack an incredible amount of imagination as what to do with these powers. So I think in general, it was kind of cool to see this. Now, I know George Lucas, I believe, has said that, yeah, that's not really right, or Jedi can't fly. I mean, we even see Dooku just kind of like, you know, I think in next week's episode, we'll talk about how he, you know, just kind of steps out of a ledge and just kind of slowly floats and flies his way to the ground. And I think Lucas has kind of debunked some of that, but I thought it was cool to see.
I really have to agree with Jerry again. It felt like it worked. You know, the Jedi powers underwater, where why couldn't Kit Fisto throw a force bubble ball of water at someone? You know, he's from a underwater world. You know, the Jedi powers, we know that Jedi powers are different to each Jedi, depending on who they've learned from, the different styles that they use, you know, Mace Windu with Shatterpoint and such. So when he's using these powers down there, you know, it just kind of felt natural. And, you know, he's kind of doing the same things, you know, besides that force bubble, he's kind of pushing around the ships and stuff like that. But this was the first time I actually seen a lightsaber work underwater, which was really cool. And I had no idea that lightsabers could work underwater. So it introduced us to that also, as well as my favorite, the scuba clones, because I remember picking up three or four of those Clone Wars scuba clones when they came out. And they were actually pretty hard to find until they were repackaged in that four pack with Obi-Wan. But I really like to see these underwater battles. And I kind of hope that the current Clone Wars guys take a look at some of these battles and kind of incorporate them into the current Clone Wars series. But one thing I wanted to ask you, didn't Dak look really close to Kamino as far as the structure of their buildings and the planet surface and everything? I thought it looked real close to Kamino. It looked really similar as far as, you know, the structure. Nathan, am I wrong here?
No, I mean, I that wasn't something that I necessarily pulled out of it. But I mean, I guess you could draw the parallel. I mean, it's not like you have a lot of options for the type of structures you could have above the surface on a planet like this that's predominantly water. I'm not sure what he was basing any of the design choices on. And you're right, this does introduce a lot of stuff that would be interesting to see in the future, but at the same time, it had some oddities about it. Like, we've got Kit Fisto with his big grin, like we saw in Attack of the Clones, and the way he is portrayed is sort of cavalier and fun and happy-go-lucky and such. So we get sort of characterization for him that could be pulled into the new series a little bit more. We get a battle here on Mon Calamari, though honestly, I really, really hope that they don't try to pull this in and make this the same battle that we're seeing in season 4. Because first of all, they've already shifted the time of this battle to a little bit further along in the storyline than otherwise. It pretty much is assumed now to take place after the rest of volume 1 or after the rest of season 1 and 2 of this, as far as the exact dating of the story. Plus the fact that at this point in time, if we're putting it in with all the early episodes, we're not going to shift it around again. Anakin is still a Padawan, which brings up all kinds of other issues with how they're going to fit it with anything else, or if they're going to somehow say that the stuff in season 4 is maybe earlier, which brings up the issue of the crappy character model thing again. Could you go backwards? It introduced the way that they're fighting underwater. I thought that was actually pretty cool. Riding on the sea creatures definitely felt like sort of the old-timey sci-fi serial type things, or, you know, a sex ed class. Here they are riding their little sea creatures toward the big glowing oval thing. That was a little creepy once I made that connection. I try not to think about that whenever I'm watching. And you've, of course, got the fact that Kit Fisto brings a little bit of Earth with him with a freaking yin-yang symbol on his belt. Would have been cool if instead that had been a symbol that we never saw again until we saw it on Mortis. Then there'd be some kind of connection there. But it does introduce some pretty nifty things. The scuba troopers, although there had been underwater stormtroopers introduced in the role-playing games, Imperial Sourcebook, I believe it was, years and years and years ago. So it's not a first time for underwater troopers with the packs and everything, but it certainly was one of the few times that we've seen it. My thing, though, is the lightsaber and the bowling ball. Lightsaber-wise, this reignited, no pun intended, the controversy about could a lightsaber work underwater? And the answer basically has been yes and no. If you water seal it, yeah. If you don't, no. Which is a great answer, you know, for something that seemed like it was going to be some big continuity issue. But then, of course, you also have, is it really realistic for Kit Fisto to be able to create essentially a force bubble and hurl it like a bowling ball to blast through the enemy undersea tank thing and save the day? Really? And more to the point, once that thing falls down and explodes and you get this big, huge blast of water shooting up, shouldn't some of those Mon Calamari cities that are on the surface, or those battle platforms on the surface, maybe those parked cruisers on the surface, be scared to death of a tsunami or something coming at them? Just saying. It was an episode that really was not one of my favorites because I found myself nitpicking it the entire time, even today.
And again, I think that was this series, even some cases more so than the current series, did ask us to suspend our criticism and to just go with it because of the way that some things were just so overblown. And I did remember that about the lightsaber. I knew that they had given us some simple answer as far as why it would work underwater. I couldn't remember exactly what it was. I couldn't remember if his was specially crafted so that it would work underwater or that. But that was kind of a cool thing, seeing a lightsaber underwater. And we'll get to it later. At actually the end of Volume 1, the DVD-wise, we get to see a lightsaber in the rain. That was something that had been theorized in comics and other things, but we'd never actually seen. And seeing those two, seeing a lightsaber used in those two ways in this series was kind of cool.
I think my problem with the nitpicking on this series is in the current series, if there's something to nitpick, it's small, but it's buried within an episode that runs without commercials a little over 20 minutes long. Here, if there's something to nitpick, for all you know, it's a quarter or a fifth of the entire stinking episode.
You know, my biggest problem with this, watching it in 2011, is just what we know happened to Kit Fisto in episode 3. It's one of those things where the only thing you knew about Kit Fisto, at least on screen, was a couple moves in episode 2, a big smile. I don't know how well how much he played in the comics, but I mean, from that, then you're like, whoa, Kit Fisto removes his jacket and he's like a bodybuilder, or, you know, at least a very athletic, strong UFC looking type fighter. He's got a special, and this is what's going through my head, he's got a specially constructed lightsaber that works underwater, because why wouldn't he, because of his species, right? He goes in there, he's Aquamanning this, he's taking all the shots, he's reflecting shots back at people, he's taking out these clone ships, he just create a big air bubble to take out the whole thing, and he gets taken down episode 3 in one little cut. It's like, ugh. You're kind of hoping you're going to bigger things here. And then I guess also, as some, I forget who said this, Nathan, I think it was you, who said that, wow, this isn't really the Kit Fisto we have in our current series now, is it? And that's a good point. That's kind of a shame, because I kind of liked what we had going on here.
Well, and Stacey Tin is the same way in this series, which we'll get to in Volume 2. He's kicking all kinds of butt. He's leading a charge through space, but Episode 3, he goes down like a punk.
Sidious is just that good. Okay, I'm not buying it either.
Maybe it's because Kit Fisto wasn't underwater.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I never took my shirt off in the restaurant, so I don't know where George got the idea that I was built the way I am, because I gave him no indication of that, but I'm glad he got it correct.
Is that where they got the idea for the belt from? You had that big old sucker down there?
No. Barrett riding that, I'm the inspiration for Kit Fisto.
Now listen, that smile and my smile, come on. I mean, come on. Nathan, you got to talk to Leland Chee, okay?
There you go.
And confirm that for me. Confirm it.
And that would be the last email that ever gets answered, is what that would be.
Leland just categorizes what happens in the Star Wars universe. He doesn't try to categorize
this is B-level
pops
canon
into what pops level in canon. George Lucas's brain.
B-level, also known as BS level, but still. There is an S-level, though, secondary, so maybe it's Barrett secondary canon. So it's BS canon. I don't know. It's funny, though, because I watched this, and just a few days ago, I saw Point Break again for the first time in years, and I can't help but see Kit Fisto flipping down there and think it's like Patrick Swayze or something like that. It totally fits the persona of Kit Fisto, the way he's presented here. He definitely, for saying nothing within the span of the episode, he definitely creates a memorable character in 3 minutes. You gotta give him at least that. As goopy as this episode was, as much as the logic hurts the brain, it shows the power of brisk, kinetic storytelling.
All right, I want to thank everybody for joining us again to talk about the Clone Wars micro-series. Thank you, Jen, Barrett, Jerry, and Nathan for sitting down with me.
You're quite welcome, Dan.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Rockstar.
And everyone, please join us again next week when we'll talk about the next 3 episodes in the storyline.
For much longer than they actually ran.
Yes. Yes, we will.
All right. Looking forward to some chewy dirge goodness. Did you know Dirge had a nougat center?
No, see, I always see him and think the sausage grill.
Like a microwave marshmallow.
I cannot wait to get into the next one. And you, Nathan, you can tell us, what species is this guy? Where did he come from? How come they're not making more of these guys? If you can cut him, I can't wait to get into that.
He is a Jindai named after Gendy Tartakovsky, baby.
Oh, so he's someone who's unstoppable, cannot die.
Apparently,
I can't wait to get into that discussion.
Yeah, me neither. Mount up. Wait, I'm sorry,
up.
General Kenobi. Are you telling me we actually have some of these too? Yeah, they're in the rear storage compartment. I bought them at a flea market. Let's go.
Yeah, after half the army's been wiped out. Hey, guys. But we will get to that.
Oh, I've got dirge in places I don't want to contemplate.
Oh, they make a topical cream for dirge.
Thank you for listening to Republic Forces Radio Network. Remember, we want your thoughts on the next episode of the Clone Wars series. You can leave us a voicemail at 415-508-JEDI every week from the time the new episode airs, and voicemails received by 1 a.m. Sunday morning may be included in our next episode. You can find our reviews of previous Clone Wars episodes, as well as our summer series reviewing the classic droid cartoon series, at our website, www.republicforces.com. And be sure to listen to our other Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Action News, covering all aspects of Star Wars collecting, from figures to high-end collectibles to Star Wars Band-Aids. Republic Forces Radio Network is hosted by Jerry, Arnie, Dan, Jen, Barrent, and Nathan P. Butler of StarWarsFanWorks.com. Republic Forces Radio Network, RepublicForces.com, and Star Wars Action News are not affiliated with Lucasfilm or any other official Star Wars-related company. Star Wars and all that the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademarked Lucasfilm Limited, and no infringement is intended. Republic Forces Radio Network is a production of Venganza Media Incorporated, copyright 2011, all rights reserved.
Yeah, when Obi-Wan walks in the door of something and tells them that they're the best.
He walks into a room somewhere talking about something in somewhere.
Says something to somebody.
And don't worry, wearing bright blue and bright red will just fit right in, dumbasses.
Let's jump right into it. Chapter 2, we are introduced, at least as far as I know, Nathan, I'm sure you'll correct me if I'm wrong on this. Is this the first time
we
meet ARC Troopers? Okay.
It took him like a split second to answer that, yeah.
I know.
Is this the first time?
Pick at Dan, I had to say it that quick. Let me find it here real quick.
That kind of borderline on kind of being rude on how we're kind of rude to Jen, how we don't let her talk.
Oh, Jen gets the first comment on this once we open the floor.
She got swept under the first episode.
Okay, let's see.
Actually, she talked all of twice the first one, so she gets to talk the whole time, this one.
See, I remember, Jen, my wife likes it when you talk. Okay.
All right.
So, Dan, you started to say, when did that issue, didn't you?
Yes, I did. That was
how long before that issue issued?
Yes, and that was where I had to use it a third time. That's where I had an issue. So
you had an issue?
I had an issue with the issuing of the issue.
Was that Bin Laden? I think it was. I still can't believe he shot the little creature. Shut up.
Exactly.
Commander, seriously, don't need the hand gestures. We've got com links.
This is all going to wind up being in the outtakes, I'm hoping, but there's going to have to be some.
Where were you when Osama bin Laden died?
I was at a round table.
We were talking Star Wars.
No, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say I was with my friends.
Oh, Jerry. My paper
Don't
guy.
Don't anybody tell him why we really keep him around.
There's actually people outside my neighborhood cheering. I can hear them yelling.
Wow. And
I don't know what the Lakers aren't on, so this has to be.
Hang on a second.
Let's see.
Did significant world events happen, or did the Lakers win the game?
I can't tell.
Boy. Now, as I was saying, before we found out that the Arks killed Osama bin Laden.
Jeez.
But that's only sea level cannon, so we got to hear it from George first. It might have been that he killed Hussein instead or something like that, and there's some kind of retcon involved.
If they somehow put that into one of the 3D releases, then we know it was true.
Booyah.
But who shot first, Bin Laden or the Marine or whoever it was?
God.
Wow. As we turn the good ship ADD back into Ridland Bay. All right. See, we established that Mon Calamari is now called Dak.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Trying to remember where we were before things started going awry.
Why don't we just restart that episode, given the fact that you had only said like two sentences? That way it's easier for you to edit.
Easy and edit and this show don't go together.
Ever.
All right. And let's see. Next episode, Jen has to talk the whole time.
Yep. According to this, Jen, I think
the best way, Jen, for you to get your thoughts of the show is to send a voicemail.
Hey, I'm just glad to see that even in a shortened episode of Republic Forces Radio Network, we could still get in an obscure 80s reference. So, way to go.
Bingo.
You know, people... they take it seriously, man. I can only imagine the hate mail that Nathan gets. You know?
Dude, I've had groups created to hate me. There have been fan sites dedicated to hating me. The old No to Nathan group, and I've had plenty of this stuff. Not so much anymore because now I'm a nice guy. I just annoy people by talking continuity too much on this show, apparently.
I thought I deleted that post. I just wrote that in anger one day. I'm sorry.
I said I was sorry. Can I make a comment about the previous episode? There was something in the last episode that we didn't talk, and I can't believe I overlooked it, but I just was hoping maybe we could talk about it for a second and throw it back in the other show.
Wait, you mean you want to say something now? You want me to put it in an early part of the show?
I know that is unprecedented.
I don't know why you would think we would do something like that. That's unheard of.